you running things today?
Yes.
Where's
Clem? The camera's now on. So we bring this meeting of the House. This is, what committee are we on again? We are the House Committee on Rural Communities, Land Use, and Water. And today is an informational meeting on the need for independent research in groundwater management in the Upper Deschutes River Basin. And we would like to welcome our guests this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Committee members. Let's see if I can figure this out. Let's see. Okay. So I'm here to talk about the research in groundwater for the Lapine Basin. It's kind of an informal term. The only term I've ever seen is Upper Deschutes River Basin, but that includes such a huge drainage that doesn't far outside this area. Basically, three rivers all flowing into one, the Deschutes River, the Fall River, which is spring-fed, Deschutes River is spring-fed. I think last week you had a hearing on spotted frog. Affects us, too, in a different way. And the Little Deschutes, which is slow-flowing. What they didn't talk about on the spotted frog was the Little Deschutes, which is a slow-flowing river, which is more habitat for spotted frogs. But one of the things, before I get into what I want to talk about, is that when they keep the water flow up for irrigation, groundwater goes up and people can't build because they have too high groundwater. When it's down, before the dam, I'm told that the Deschutes River did not have a seasonal fluctuation. It was even year-round, but it fluctuates because of that. So the Lapine Basin is in many ways like Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It's a true hole basin, that's got a narrow slit canyon that drains out. And so it's a little unique. It's different than a lot of valleys. And it's primarily pumice as the soil type and of course, volcanic ash. So it's a pretty big area. You don't realize it until you're up on Mount Paulina or somewhere that you can look out, but it's a big area. The area that's in question is, and this is just a map of the area. The area in question is 400 square miles, approximately. And it's twice the size of Portland. The communities are often not contiguous. There's several of them that are separated by BLM land, some that are way off the grid. Some are out, a lot of it got subdivided. They were ranches or potato farms that couldn't make it, and they got subdivided back in the 50s, 60s. And Lapine is the biggest zip code, about 11,000 people. Total estimated population that's affected is probably 18,000. And, you'll hear statements of the total area for the Lapine Basin, about 22, 24,000 people. You don't realize it till you're down there, but it's actually a fairly substantial area. It's as big as Jefferson County, Crook County, but we're kind of forgotten sometimes. We're out in the trees. This is you can kind of see the outline of the area, but don't take that as all platted out. There's areas that will be surrounded by BLM or ranch. So the thing that makes this area, I think, really susceptible to problems is the poverty level. 12.5% of all families are in poverty. Over almost 60% receive Social Security, huge retirement area. 23% or almost 24% are on SNAP, and of those, 43% are seniors 60 plus, and 14% of seniors 65 and older in poverty, 43.5% are disabled. And it'll depending on which statistic you look at, the veteran population can be quite high. Some census blocks over 50%. That gives you a kind of an idea of what's going on with that area.
The third lowest median
makes it vulnerable. So the research that's been done down there on groundwater, basically its septic issue, has been the single focus. It's been normative science. This is courtesy of Dr. Jarvis at OSU that sent this on to me. My background and my doctorate's in social science, you know, psychology. His, of course, is hydrogeology. The stealth advocacy is really the problem that has been happening down there. We've not had any research institutions in to do research. So you have a normative science, which is information is developed, presented, or interpreted based on an assumed, usually it's an unstated preference or particular policy choice. Layperson's unlikely to know what that is. Another definition of that is junk science. It's biased data, spurious inference, wishful thinking, logical ledger domain, carried out in support of political goals. Again, the push has been sewer the area, 400 square miles, some solution in between might be appropriate, except that appropriate science should really explore the bigger picture. It should be replicable, it should be collaborative of results, and it should be data-driven interventions, and it should educate and lead to solutions. What is often held up about this area is the Pine Corps business area. And that was an area that was platted out almost 100 years ago. When it originally was platted, there's small lots, and the businesses along Highway 97 struggled to be able to compete and grow because they didn't have adequate sewage waste treatment. I think that a couple of businesses probably pushed the envelope. They dug bottomless cesspools, and there may have been others. They dug them down to the aquifer level, put drain pipe, drain rock, filled it back in, and it wasn't long before people had soap suds and grease in their water. And shortly after that, they had the sewer come in. I think it was before there was any real legal consequences for that. So this is kind of what it looks like. This isn't really the, this is an area, this is what people platted or planned to do. In 1967, the voters overturned by referendum all zoning laws in Deschutes County, and things went crazy for a little bit. Fortunately, that never happened, but some of that is what the Pine Corps business area would have looked like. And but it's not what the other subdivisions look like. The other subdivisions are half-acre, one-acre lots, some up to 10 acres, and interspersed, and a lot of them are not developed yet. Some of them because of high groundwater due to irrigation. So the only previous research of note has been the USGS study back around 2000. I think it came out in 2005 or 2007 with the final report. And, you know, as I mentioned, I have in my doctorate, I have a research design and methodology minor. I've done research. And I looked at this and went through it. Time I waded through it, and 69 households for nitrate level. When I dug into the literature, I realized there's a well-established body of literature on nitrate loading for humans. So that was a first flag. Then I looked at occupancy rate, and well, why aren't they using the census? That would be the most logical solution. You know, you look at census, the best data that you can find, and then second best. And I checked with the electric company. They had never contacted them. They went to the Chamber of Commerce and the U.S. Mail, the post office, for occupancy. Problem is, a lot of those people are over there part-time. They don't even establish a mailbox. But they do have electric for their water pump. And I happen to have been a victim of the census when they were taking the 2010 census. They badgered me over vacant lots and lots with trailers that clearly hadn't been occupied for years. So I knew that census would be the best choice, but they didn't use it. And then they used unreliable data sources. And we've talked about normative science. To me, this is really normative science at its best or its worst. They use real estate well test data. I had been warned to, even by DEQ, hey, be very careful of it because it has a lot of duplicate entries in it. Well, when I looked at it, not only did it have duplicate entries, it had transposed entries. So you'd have exact same entry would have one value at 7 milligrams per liter and the other might be 0.07. By the time you cleaned that up, you didn't get the same data. And then they used a DEQ 2000 well test study that mixed domestic water wells with septic monitoring wells. And they held that up and they said, well, look, we've got a 25 milligram per liter well here. It happened to be a domestic, or not a domestic, but a septic well test monitoring well. So it's kind of the thumb on the scale. And this is a particular one. And when I got done with that and used some more rigorous statistical instruments to take out outliers, the model from the USGS that said this is how the nitrates are going to build and grow didn't look the same as their calibrations, the real estate well test and the 2000 well test, because you take out the outliers that aren't possibly part, or we know aren't part of the sample, then suddenly you don't have the same. So this was normative science. This is what's happened from this. We have one septic manufacturer for alternative treatment technology. Over 90% of the septic systems that have to be put in if you do remodeling or if you build new are the ATT system. One septic manufacturer now has an absolute monopoly. The only one approved for South Deschutes, North Klamath County, according to the installers. They sit on every DEQ committee that affects their corporation. The Oregon On-Site Waste Treatment Association is also heavily represented, and they are a director and founder of that organization. They designed the last well test, a retest, in 2011. They selected a community college instructor in Rhode Island to do their analysis. You know, never contacted OSU, who have the experts. They selected the wells, and a number of those were in the Pine City area. One was right by the spray field. The gentleman, their government rep that selected that, said, well, he didn't have access to geocoding. I geocoded the wells and could locate them. Said, why did you select this one? Well, I went by this criteria. And, you know, it could be innocent, but I have trouble believing that at this point. When it got done and I looked at them, I think I had 39 wells I could compare. You can't do a trend, and it's supposed to cover 400 square miles. There's no way that you can develop a trend for that. So there wasn't a whole lot you could do. What they have done, I believe, is they've used an OAR, and probably others too, it's OAR 340-071-0130, that says, essentially, in the best, if an agent may not authorize an installation, if it's likely to pollute the waters, if, in the judgment of the agent, there's a better system. And they have, according to one installer, have bombarded DEQ with engineering studies as they have the best, so now they have a monopoly. But this is what stealth science does. It, you know, you got an agenda, whether they hijacked it because they were smart, business-wise, or for whatever reason, you end up with something that people don't accept, and it's really not based on sound science. What we've been struggling to get, as I think Representative McLean can attest, is to get funding to have OSU's Institute of Water and Watersheds come in, do research, let the chips fall where they may. Is there an issue? Let's find out. Let's have real legitimate research that's credible. Science for discovery and science to educate, so that people can identify if you got to put in $20,000 for a septic or a sewer system, at least let them have data that they can understand. It should be replicable, should have monitoring wells, soil samples. Domestic wells don't work for accurate testing for many reasons, one of which is that the various well depths, you know, when it was drilled, who drilled it, whether it's sealed right, did it corrode the well casing. Dr. Jarvis informed me that 25, 30 years is considered an old well. So if you got a well that's more than that, it's old. well depths out there range from 6 feet to about 1,400 feet, some of them lined with stovepipe. So identify, start identifying what the wells are. Look at where it's there. Look at abandoned wells, because those are a conduit right down to the aquifer. Get that in the picture. Figure out what's going on. Is it a bad well? I talked to a gentleman a few years ago that his well was testing high, and yet he had a brand new well, new septic, nothing had been there before, couldn't figure out why. And of course, educate. But looking at things from a you know, a solid, credible research perspective, and then going forward from there, rather than using stealth science that has an objective first and then tries to come up with the data to support it. And we're a little frustrated at this point because we fought for this for a good 2 years. And so, okay. Open to questions.
Yeah, any questions? Representative McLean.
Hey, John, what was the request that the South County and you facilitated? Was for $500,000, or was it for $350,000? But anyway, it was a research grant to right. OSU for this study. Is that correct?
Right. And DEQ did not want it targeted to OSU. They wanted to control it. And they wanted to spread it over the whole basin, where OSU wanted to look at a subdivision or community and look at elevated wells and figure out what's going on. I think I've got a copy of that with me. Find it here. If I can read it, because they don't write the same research type of proposals that I'm used to. They were looking about 60 wells, I think. 40 would be Pruce probe, and then 20 drilled. 60 wells wouldn't probably do an adequate job of educating people about a problem over that big an area. So my understanding is they wanted to, you know, incrementally work out. We've got a doctoral student that wants to do research. He's now talking about a couple of wells, which I think would probably not be enough to. It might be enough from the hydrogeology standpoint, but it probably wouldn't be enough to convince people in a subdivision if there was a problem, or to adequately convince, make the case that these people should be fine with standard systems if that was the case. And having done research, I think it's too little. He'll struggle to complete it. I think it needs to be well funded. The sad thing is that they spent between 20 and 30 million over there in that basin. And except for eventually sewering Lapine, the city of Lapine, they haven't accomplished much with the money. And I don't think that included the sewering. But I don't think people trust the county or DEQ anymore. And to resolve this, you really need independent, credible research. Then I think you can move forward.
Any further questions? Yes, Representative Witt.
John, is it a matter that there just isn't enough population density to have a municipal sewage system?
Well, they're spread. I think it's 2,000 just for South Deschutes County. The estimate was 200 million to sewer.
Yeah.
Now, including North Klamath, which has some high groundwater, you're probably talking a third of $1 billion at least. And if you're going to do that, given the poverty level and the, you know, the state's inability to step in and help with any, you know, a substantial for that size of an area, you know, you're talking about an enormous burden, probably just result in mass gentrification of the area. And we don't know what's there yet. We don't have credible research. It's really looked at subdivision by subdivision. So, for instance, we've got one subdivision that's 75, 80 homes surrounded by BLM and ranch land. So what's there? That would be a good one. We've got another one that's 250 homes on the east side of the Mount Paulina, quite isolated. It would be difficult to sewer those and very expensive. City of Lapine, when I talked to their engineer, was looking at just piping the Cagle subdivision, 250 homes, was $5 million. And, you start doing that across the area, you're talking a lot of money.
Any further questions?
One.
Yeah.
John, as it stands now, as you see it, what would be the preferred path that the legislature, by appropriation or by policy setting, could do to assist South Deschutes County?
I would, to me, the best is to begin incrementally looking at these subdivision or some really community by community. Part of that is it's easier to, if you find one community that's got, let's say, a nitrate flow or plume, you can kind of make a statement for others. Begin to lay that out in increments. And if that's, then you come back to the table and decide on the data what's the best solution and do they need legislative assistance to accomplish that, for instance. More accessibility to the Clean Water Fund or something. I think you've dealt with Crescent. They've had some barriers in financing. And, and part of the problem is these are residential subdivisions, so they have no industry, no commercial property to help soften the blow of if they have to go to sewers. The other part of this might be to change policy, look at some of these DEQ committees that are by statute established and make sure that they at least meet the same standards that came out of the Enron issue so that somebody can't sit on a committee where they approve their own system to the benefit of their own corporation. I think that's been a huge problem because we have no competition to reduce the cost of anything there.
Thank you.
Anything else? All right. Did we have any other business that we need to take care of? Okay. Well, then I guess that will close this session of the House Committee on Rural Communities, Land Use, and Water. Thank you, John, for coming. Thank you, John, for coming.